Well, here this morning, and we are to this amazing story of Jesus walking on water, as you heard as I talked to the kiddos. Now, people walking on water seems like something you read about in the Bible, right? And you probably have, but it seems like something that no one's done since Jesus, right? It seems crazy to think about someone even trying to do, don't you think? Well, there's a ton of people, I don't know, we live in the technological age, live of videos plastering everywhere on different accounts, different streaming services, whatever you want to call it. And there's been a ton of people who have, guess what, walked on water, okay? So, in a minute, we're going to look at a couple of clips this morning of some of the ones I found online for you. David, can you turn off all those lights for me? And I'm going to turn off this light. And I think that might work. Okay, so Barth, if you want to go through these. So there's this guy. This next one has sound, by the way.
A clear plexiglass stool. When it's submerged in the water, it becomes completely invisible.
What?
And just like that, you magically float on top of the water.
Dad, that is not possible.
It's magic.
Not quite on the water, right? This guy got real creative. He froze the water. And then try to just walk across it. I like this next one. That one's real creative. That also must be very difficult, I would only assume. This is not walking on water, but it's my favorite clip, so I had to share it. All right. So there's tons more, okay? That is a small fraction of the clips on the internet of people walking on water, right? But you see, all of these clips, they were faked, right? See, all of these people, they wanted the ability to walk on water without having what it takes to do it, okay? They didn't have what it takes. And as we're going to find out this morning, it takes faith to walk on water. It takes faith to walk on water. And faith is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. And it's the kind of faith that it would take for you and me to walk on water. Okay? Now, faith is something that we talk about a lot in the Christian circle, as the church, right? You want to have faith. And I think if I asked you, would you like to have more faith? I think all of us would say, absolutely. I would love to increase my faith. I would love to grow in my faith, right? And we would. And any right-thinking Christian would say yes to that question. Yes, I want more faith. And today's scripture is going to help us to trust in the Lord more than ever, okay? So if you haven't already, take your Bible. Open it to Matthew chapter 14, okay? That is where we're going to be this morning. Matthew chapter 14, and I'll be starting in verse 22 eventually. So, see, this morning we're going to look at another of Jesus's wonderful miracles that he did. He did many miracles, right? We've been talking a lot about his miracles, mostly healing, but this one's a little different, right? This miracle Jesus worked here was when he walked on the water several miles out into the Sea of Galilee, okay? And you see, God can use this great miracle to help us grow in our faith today, especially when we go through hard times in life, okay? And that's what we're going to find out this morning. So let's get started by reading Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. It says this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, While he dispersed the crowds, and after he sent the crowds away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already far from land, was taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. As the night was ending, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost," and cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And starting to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they went up into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So, we all want more faith. But, you see, sometimes we all struggle with having doubts as well, right? We have doubts at times. Why do we do that? Why do we doubt so much? Why do we doubt when we shouldn't doubt? Why do we doubt God? You see, that's an important question, especially when the question comes from Jesus himself, okay? And the Lord's question in verse 31 can also apply to us. He says this, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" See, a lot of the times, or sometimes, depending on who you are, we doubt. We don't trust in the Lord as much as we should, right? But today's scripture is going to help us trust God more than ever, okay? Today's scripture is going to help us to walk on water, maybe not physically, but spiritually, okay? So first, I got a couple points for you this morning. Our first point, if you want a walking on water faith, then don't be surprised by the storms in your life. So that's point number one. Don't be surprised by the storms in your life. You see, in verse 22, the Lord's disciples were probably not expecting trouble, right? They probably didn't get in the boat expecting to have a storm. That's because Jesus told the disciples, "Get in the boat and go," right? Told them to get in the boat and go before to the other side. Jesus told them to go. And guess what? They went probably expecting smooth sailing, because if Jesus was telling them to go, why would he send them into a storm? But as Jesus sent the multitudes away and went up on a mountain to pray, the disciples, they ran into some trouble. In verse 24, it talks about how the boat was now in the middle of the sea and it was being tossed by the waves, okay? See, the disciples were finding themselves in trouble, okay? And it wasn't because they did something wrong. It was because they did what was right. They were in trouble because they had obeyed the Lord, okay? They ran into the storm not because of something they were doing wrong to cause the storm. They just ran into a storm because sometimes storms happen. And that can cause them to doubt. That can cause us to doubt, right? You see, there's many Christians today that have been influenced by this idea of prosperity, that nothing bad should happen to me because I'm a believer, right? There's many. There's a feel-good falsehood being taught that Christians should expect nothing but the best from this world because you are a Christian. But you see, church, that's not the case. That's not what the Bible says. Yes, the Lord wants to bless you, but that doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailings through your whole Christian journey. John 16:33, Jesus told his followers this, "In the world you have trouble and suffering, but take courage, I have conquered the world," right? See, even though God has blessed us beyond measure, We can't always expect the good life from following the Lord, okay? We can't expect smooth sailings just because we're following the Lord. In fact, we should expect some tough things. Because guess who doesn't want you following the Lord? Satan. He's going to attack you. He's going to send issues your way. We need to keep trusting Jesus, both in the good times and in the bad times. We need to keep trusting in Jesus no matter how bad things may get in our lives. So, if you want a walking on water faith, then don't be surprised by the storm. Okay? Second, remember that the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Can you believe that the Lord doesn't always act according to your expectations? Can you believe that? Like, whenever I wrote that down, I was like, no, he works in my expectations, right? He doesn't. He doesn't do that. It's crazy. He works in his expectations. You see, God is the infinite, almighty God. And he is going to do things that we don't expect. And he is going to do things that we don't understand. This is what happened here when the disciples were hammered by the wind, right? See, they were more terrified when Jesus came to them walking on the water, too. It wasn't just the water, the storm. They were terrified when Jesus was there, right? Now, they didn't really understand it was him, but we'll get there. Verse 25 through 26 again says this, "As the night was ending, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost,' and cried out with fear." You see, the disciples didn't expect to be blasted by the wind, right? And the last thing they expected was to see Jesus doing what? Walking on the water. Although, if I was following Jesus, that wouldn't be surprising to me, right? I mean, he's done so many other things. What's walking on water? But no wonder they were terrified. But God really does move in mysterious ways. He does. You see, the Old Testament is filled with these mysterious ways. I'll share one. When the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea, right? With the Egyptian army bearing down on them, bloody slaughter seemed inevitable in their minds. But God, what did he do? He did the unexpected. He didn't build them a boat right there. He didn't make it appear. What did he do? He parted the sea so that they were able to walk across. And not only were they able to walk across, guess what? They weren't trudging through mud. They weren't getting stuck. It was dry ground, right? They were able to walk across on dry ground. The Lord parted the waters of the Red Sea with less effort than it takes for us to let the water out of our sinks, church. That's the power he has. See, God works in mysterious ways. A couple weeks ago, I shared a story about one of my college experiences, and today I'm going to share one of my middle school experiences. So, middle schoolers, listen up. You're not a middle schooler. You gasped for air over there. Well, this one's less me learning something, but just a good story. I'll never forget one day, my eighth grade year. I don't know, Mel, I'd probably share this story with you, but maybe not in this detail. Eighth grade year, it was a Friday morning. I was getting ready for basketball practice, and me and a friend, we had to go to the office for something. I can't remember if it was the gym was locked. I don't really remember the details. I just know we had to go to the office for something. And we get to the office, and the secretary is looking a little frazzled, okay? I mean, we're middle schoolers. We don't really think much of it, right? And so she told us that we needed to go immediately to the cafeteria, okay? And so she didn't tell us why, but also being good middle schoolers, we obeyed, right? We went to the cafeteria. So there we were walking out of the office, and we turned the corner to go towards our cafeteria, And as we're walking, there's this big man walking in front of us. And as he's going, he's pouring something out of a jug, and he's carrying a shotgun. And, Now, my naive self didn't think we were in danger. I don't know why. This is one of the moments in my life. I'm like, really, Matt? Really? But we follow this man with the shotgun, he pouring something into the cafeteria, okay? As soon as we get in there in the cafeteria, and we see it's full of all the high schoolers. Our middle school and high school kind of was on the same campus, but they were separate buildings, so the middle schoolers would use certain things. And it was all the high school was in there. And as soon as we stepped in, all the other high schoolers looked at us and say, run and get out. Well, all of a sudden, the light bulb went off and was like, oh, we're in danger. So we race out of there, okay? We don't get, we get out of there, and it turned out that this guy was an ex-student, and he had been expelled, and he finally decided he was going to settle the score, okay? And his plan was to get everyone in the cafeteria and then set the place on fire. That was his plan, apparently, from what he said after he was apprehended. My sisters were older than me. They were in high school at the time, and they were in the cafeteria. And between them and all of the bunch of other high schoolers, I didn't really see what happened in there because I wasn't in there. But they shared how this man was going around pouring gasoline all around the cafeteria. And at the trash cans, he would stop and pour a bunch of gas in the trash cans. And each time he would do that, he would take out his matches and light it and throw it in there. But match after match, he would light it and throw it in there, and nothing would ever catch. Nothing would ever catch. Okay? Long story short, the man was eventually subdued by some faculty and some very brave varsity football players. Nobody ended up getting hurt. Nobody, right? But I share that story because on that same day, that same night, that night, our youth group had won a contest to go into Dallas to one of the Christian radio stations and get to do the top 10 most popular, or whatever it was at the time. So we won a contest to get to introduce the songs for that. And I shared that because we went to share about those songs, but many of the older kids got the opportunity to instead share about what happened that day and how God had his hand on them and how God had his hand on our school, right? It may be a terrible situation. It could have ended really bad. And I want to tell you, there are many stories like this that end way worse, right? There's tons of them. But this one didn't. And it's truly sad how those end. But I want you to see that bad things can happen in our fallen world just because it's a fallen world. Okay? And Jesus does all things well, and sometimes he does them in the most unexpected ways. This was an opportunity for people to share a little bit more than they were planning to share just that morning. It was an opportunity. Here I am sharing it with you today, right? I won't say how many years that is because I can't do the math, but it was a long time ago. But it sticks in my mind, right? You remember something like that. You remember how the trash cans would not light, right? So, if you want a walking on water faith, then remember that the Lord works in mysterious ways, right? That was by far one of the most mysterious ways God worked in my life. But also, we have to be willing to receive the truth of God's word, okay? Point three. In verse 26, we read that disciples were getting troubled when they saw him walking on the water, okay? To be honest, the scripture literally says they were terrified, okay? They thought they were seeing a ghost. It's a little surprising. I already mentioned that they thought Jesus was a ghost. I mean, Didn't they know him very well? They'd been following him for years. They had just seen Jesus do what? What did he just do? He fed 5,000 men. And we know between men, women, and children, it was probably almost 1,500 people. They'd seen Jesus work countless other miracles, but they underestimated God's miraculous power. And church, I want you to know that we can do the same thing. We do it all the time. We underestimate the ability of God. Now, I do thank God that Jesus does want us to increase our faith, because it takes increasing our faith to grow in him and to believe in his will, in his way. And in verse 24, he immediately spoke to them and said this. He said, "Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid," right? But I want you to notice, after he says this, there's one individual who decides, that's not good enough for me. His name's Peter, right? Wasn't good enough. That statement wasn't good enough for Peter. See, he wanted more proof. So Peter answered Jesus and said, "Lord, if it is you, order me to come out to you on the water." See, Jesus' words here is a great example. This is a great example for us, because for Peter, his words were not enough. He doubted his words. And we can doubt his words too. Right? We shouldn't, but we do, don't we? Sometimes we have that same problem. See, at the extreme, okay, so this may not be anybody here, but at the extreme end, people don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They don't. They are in the worst, see, those people are in the worst possible danger, because they're trapped. They're stuck. Not only do they have these storms, but they have the danger. If they don't believe in the Bible, the Word of God, then they're in more danger than that storm will ever cause them. Because they're in the danger of being sent to hell, right? That's because no one can be saved without trusting in God's Word. See, rejecting the Bible, rejecting the good news about Jesus, means rejecting your only hope of salvation. There's those people. Then there's many people who will pick and choose what to accept in God's Word, right? They might say, "Oh, well, I really like the part about God's love, but not so much about his lordship. I want to be Lord of my life." Or this, "I have to take up my cross every day? That just seems way too much work. What if I do it every now and then?" Right? And there's many other examples you could use for that. You see, church, everybody needs to be like the Christians in 1 Thessalonians 2. There Paul rejoiced and said this in verse 13. He said, "And so we too constantly thank God that when you received God's message that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human message, but as it truly is, God's message, which is at work among you who believe." See, we all, you, me, we all can put more focus on God's Word every single day. We all can grow in God's Word every single day. And the more we prayerfully read what God says, the more our faith can grow, right? So if you want a walking on water faith, then receive the truth of God's Word. And lastly this morning, focus on the Savior more than the storm, okay? Because what do we talk about? Storms are going to come. You may get storms because you are a believer, right? Focus on the Savior more than the storm. See, we tend to like to focus on our problems more than God's power a lot of the times. And it's a human thing we do. Because there's a disconnect between sometimes us and God. I mean, we're here. We can see the storms, right? And this is what Peter did in the middle of his storm. Verse 30 through 33 says this, "But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And starting to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me!' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, 'You of little faith, why do you doubt?' When they went up into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" You see, Peter started sinking when? He started sinking when he took his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at the storm that was all around him and not looking at Jesus. And you see, we make that same mistake. We have to focus on God's power more than what's going on around us, on the storm around us. Because God is greater than any problem we're ever going to face. And Jesus, guess what? He's able to calm any storm that we're ever going to come in contact with. Now, that doesn't mean he will calm the storm. He may say, "You're riding this one out. You're going to grow in your faith today." Right? A lady once said to a pastor this. She said, "I only like to take small things to God because I don't want to worry him with the big things." Well, the pastor replied this. He said, "Ma'am, anything you bring to God, guess what? Is small to God. Don't be afraid to bring the small things to God. Don't lean on him only in the hard times, only in the big times. He wants us to lean on him all the time." See, God is bigger than any problem we will ever face. And he is able to calm any storm. So we should boldly go to him for the help we need. We should pray for the big breakthroughs. But we should also keep filling our prayers with praises of him. Those small things that we need, right? There's a story that a son shared about his dad, who was a pastor for over 30 years. And he shared this, and he said this. He said his dad was down at the river trying to have a baptismal service one morning. And he shares that the wind was blowing really hard that day. So hard that, I don't know if you've ever seen it by the water, the wind starts to really whipple and make big splashes. And they were afraid to get the people in there, especially because there was a lot of kids going to be baptized that morning. And they didn't want the waves, the ripples to interfere. So the pastor, this man, decided to take it to the Lord. And he led the people in prayer and asked God to calm those waters so the baptismal service could go on. Well, guess what? God answered that prayer. Immediately, the wind and the waves died down. And they stayed down until the last person was baptized. And then guess what happened? The wind came back. Right? It's a great example of us turning to the Lord for something simple as a baptismal service. Right? As we close this morning, we spent a lot of time sharing this story about, probably one you've heard many times, about this account of Peter and Jesus on the water. But you've been hearing about it, I kind of wanted you to visually see it. And I have a video I put together with a song. It's taken from the show The Chosen. They did a really pretty good account on it. So we're going to watch that, and then I'm going to get back up and close. David, will you hit those lights again for me? Thank you. I tell a lot of people I'm a visual person, and I am. I like to see. I like to touch. That's how I learn well. And just getting to see kind of what it would look like. This interaction between Jesus and Peter after he pulls them and saves them is a great example of the love he has for us when he pulls us out of our pain. He's there. He loves on us. Like we're a crying child. He's there to comfort us. And I should have shared this when I was talking about how they were surprised about Jesus coming. But there's one line in the show that they one of the characters says, Thomas, of all people. They really push hard doubting Thomas in the show. But he says this, how is this the second most amazing thing I've seen today? Because they just fed the 5,000, right? How is this the second most amazing thing? I love that line because it's true. Why are they doubting when they've seen all that Jesus can do? But anyways. See, church, Jesus can calm our storm if he wants to calm it. He cares about us. That story I told about the baptism, he cared about the children getting baptized, didn't he? He calmed those waves. He calmed that wind. See, but it's important, though, to mention that Jesus, even though he'll calm our storm, like I said, he may not calm all the storms. He might ask us to ride out that storm. And it's important in those times to keep trusting in him, to keep putting our faith in him, and not lose sight just because we're in a storm or things aren't growing great in our life at that moment that we lose sight and think, oh, God's not around anymore. No, he's there. He wants you to rely on him, even in the storm, even through the storm. I like what the disciples did in verse 33. And we should do the same. We should worship him and say, truly, you are the Son of God. Right? Truly, you are the Son of God. We have to do that. We don't have a closing song. That was going to be my closing song, but I decided to move it. So I'm going to close us in prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. So.